I really like how you have like this universal, you go into an IDE, you create a solution, you've got a solution for Windows platform and phone, and then Android, and then iOS, and I can do custom stuff for iOS experience, and you show that. What about the story where I really want to build a bunch of business screens, and they are all going to be general to the whole app, and I just want to deliver those to all of these platforms, but I don't want to write low-level code for every screen of every form, but I do want to do cross-platform. How would I do that with the tools that we've got right now?
So you got a couple of options. So the first option is, so Giorgio talked about the hosted web app option, if JavaScript's your thing. The other option is actually you don't have to go native if you don't want to. For my demo, I need to show you that just so you understand all three tiers. If you want to put everything in the business logic, that's perfectly acceptable as well. You don't have to show all the underlying bits. The heads are really there because, in essence, although you might want to deliver the same thing every time, you've got to remember one thing. When a user's on a platform, they have a certain level of expectation of your application. So you have to make sure that, a classic example is, so when we show like a Windows app, a user almost takes it for granted that your tile is going to give them something useful, more than just the logo of the application. So when you're looking at the user experience, don't feel that functionally, yes, it might do the same, but experience-wise, you might just want to tailor it. Even if it's just a little bit, just make sure that you have that light up.
Great. Thank you.
No worries.
So we've got a question from online. Can the bot framework be used for multiple languages, or can you just drop it on an existing website?
Well, by languages, I assume you mean programming languages.
That's right, yeah.
Today it's C# and JavaScript Node.
Yeah.
In terms of dropping it on an existing website, you can leverage an existing website as a connector by building a custom connector with the bot connector.
All right. And can you, let's say you had a website that was built with Node.js,
mm-hmm.
then it's fairly straightforward for you to add that to the back end?
Yes.
Okay.
Does Microsoft have plans for smartphone business long term?
We're absolutely committed to mobile. So we are continuing to invest on Windows 10 Mobile. In fact, today you saw a lot of the demos where we use Lumia 950, for example, to show the universal Windows platform. When we think about the platform and building apps, we're not just focused on one specific form factor, but we want apps to run across as many devices as possible, whether that's PC, it's mobile, it's HoloLens, it's Xbox, as we demonstrated, or IoT. From a mobile perspective, then, I would also say we have some strengths. And customers are giving us great feedback, in particular, like enterprises and consumers that care about security, manageability. We got great feedback on Continuum, for example. And we're going to continue to invest on in those areas.
Smartphones.
Smartphones, you mean?
Like telephones, phones, specifically.
So you're now referring specifically to the announcement we made. I think if you look back at the announcement, we shared like our plan there a couple of weeks ago.
So we've got a couple of questions online about Xamarin.
Yeah.
Is there any support for drawing features through Xamarin? We'll take this sort of as a multi-part question. So I guess the first one is, do we have drawing features in Xamarin?
So when you have the separate heads, then yeah. Because don't forget, you're still writing. It's a XAML-based layer, right? So if you're doing the Windows head, obviously not all the platforms will have all the features and functionality. So they're all different in their own ways. The things you'll find that's common across things like the platforms in Xamarin will be the standard calls like the HTTP clients and stuff like that, the REST-based calls. That sort of stuff is pretty standard. But then for inking, like Pete demonstrated, it's a very lighter feature on Windows especially. So you're going to see that you'll have a native head for Windows that will be doing that.
So for Windows Ink, then, you'll need a separate sort of native code for every single platform. Excellent.
I would also add, like, the reason it's that way today is that Inky is available on many devices, right?
Yeah.
If you think about the web, Inky has been available for many years. But the level of depth and precision and quality we provide in Windows 10 is provided by the hardware, provided by the devices. And so it's not something that can easily be just ported across all devices.
Awesome.
Next question.
Any question?
All right. Hi. So my understanding is boards like Raspberry Pi and Arduinos and stuff, they're great for prototyping and hobbyists, but they're not industry ready or compliant for industry standards. How do you take a project to the next level, get it mass produced and industrial compliant?
Okay. So if you're talking about specifically like a Windows 10 IoT core,
which is what we show running on the Raspberry Pi 3 up here. We have a version of that that is a Pro SKU, which gives you a little bit more control over it. It has a very nominal fee associated with it. But the approach that we're looking for folks to take is they can spin up their own silicon, like their own boards that are based on chipsets that we support. So for example, the Raspberry Pi is not the greatest example of that, but you can work with, say, Qualcomm, or you can work with other companies to use chipsets that we support to create your own board that you can then you know, put into production for whatever standards that you require. Now, plenty of people actually do still use something like the Raspberry Pi because it's $35, and they figure, well, they can just keep replacing it, which is kind of an amusing approach. But we're really looking at people to spin up their own boards on that. Now, we don't have as much support out there for that as we are going to have. We're still working on a lot of our kind of maker to pro type approach there.
Okay, so I guess you wouldn't have any partners then that could help your Microsoft community get started with stuff like that?
We do have a number of them. Feel free to talk to me afterwards, because it's going to depend entirely on like what you're trying to do and what types of solutions you're trying to target.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
We've got a question from Andrew online. There's been a lot of talk of Windows Phone being dead, which is a great shame, he says, because it's a great platform with lots of potential. But he's very curious about the future of Windows 10 Mobile and Continuum now that Windows Phone is...
Not dead. I love my Windows Phone. Spoiler alert, I use a Windows Mobile.
Yeah.
I actually love it. So we talked briefly about Continuum today. If you look at BID, actually, we had a couple of sessions on Continuum. And those were some of the most popular sessions, actually, when we look at you know, the feedback from users. About 1 year ago, we showed Continuum as the ability to take a phone and then connect it with a docking station to a monitor or a Bluetooth mouse and keyboard. This year at BID, we announced the evolution of Continuum, which is the ability to carry your experience across multiple type of devices and form factors. In fact, one thing we are enabling in future releases is the ability to take your phone and then use a PC, any Windows 10 PC that you have around, and then continue your experience on that PC. Or even have two different PCs and share the experience between them. So there is definitely much more happening around Continuum, and it's one feature that, in particular in the commercial space and enterprises, we're hearing great feedback about.
That sounds magical, honestly. We've got a question from the audience.
Okay, I have a question about Xamarin. So Xamarin is cool because it's native and it compiles the native code. But the question is, ongoing, when there's new APIs coming out, the Xamarin group has to wrap up the native APIs into C# so we can consume them in the normal forms. The question is this a proactive process where you guys are working with the OS vendors to be on top of it, or do you catch up all the time? So when the new API drops, you have to spend a month trying to wrap it up.
So when they're separate heads, then you don't have to worry about it so much, because it's you're actually compiling the native part there. There will have to obviously be some wrapping with the C# projection that we have to do. But yes, in general, things like the commonality between all three platforms, we do make sure there's consistency. So as a C# developer, you feel at home and you almost forget that they're multiple platforms. When it's something that's very new from a platform perspective, you generally find that until it's across all three, it's very difficult for us to try and make sure that it's a standard across the board. So HTTP client is a classic example where it is standard across, but you might not find some of the newer APIs might not be.
And the same goes for data typing, right? Because some of like Java and Android, they're not as strict in data typing. They got a lot of strings all over the place. So, and you guys have to wrap it up and make data types out of that. So I understand that it's a past process where you guys have to catch up, or is it like there's actually a Xamarin team inside of, I don't know, Google working on it?
So I will tell you, like, the history. If you look at the history of Xamarin, even before we acquired them in Microsoft, they were quite sending like blog posts, quite timely. Every time there was a new, let's say, iOS release, on pretty much the same day or the next day, they already had the update for that release, whether there was like a watch or a PC. So we hope to continue to be as fast as we've been in the past.
Thank you.
We got a question from online.
All right.
Why was it necessary to write the location service layer for each platform independently if Xamarin wraps the system layers? Can't a location manager be retrieved with given criteria across all of the platforms in common code?
Well, eventually. think at the moment they're separate. So the reason why I showed you that demo was more interestingly, if you noticed, we had the manual reset event. And if you look at the way the Windows code is, we actually just have async calls. So it's interesting to see that actually there are still differences in the API layers that we need to obviously still make sure that they're level grounding across the board. So in this instance, I would have to write them separately purely because of that layer, yeah. Anyone else?
Other questions?
We got a question from the audience.
Run.
Hello. I have a question about data syncing between different Windows devices, both for data and file. What is the recommended way to go about it? And I guess there's a second part of the question is, if it was platform agnostic, so for example, between iOS, Android, and Windows, I know that there is a Azure mobile backend as a service. Could you perhaps talk a little bit more about that?
So I can talk about syncing if you want. So yeah, so with Azure, you have the mobile services, which you can use. The other option is, depending on your scenario, you can also use some of the new tech that we talked about at Build called Project Roam. And that's really interesting because you can then pass your context along. Because the idea is that if your machine, so I think Giorgio touched on this slightly earlier with the Continuum conversation. The idea is, imagine the normal classic example is this. I'm in my office, I'm working on my machine. All of a sudden, I realize I'm late for a meeting, as always. The first thing I do is I pick up my phone. The thing is, the walk to the corridor is pretty far. Sometimes I have to get a bus or something. So at that point, I want the continuation of experience. So that is one option. But what you can then say to Windows is, hey, find any Windows devices on my MSA graph, and just go and send whatever context directly to the other device. And therefore, I can continue that work. That's one option. The other one is where you could save it to mobile services, where you say, well, actually, I just want to store that information, but I don't necessarily need to pick it up instantly. I may want to just do it later on, and that may be application state. That's also the other option.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
If there is a web app that can approach all the devices, why would I write a Windows Store app? Why would I wonder if I can approach everything with a web app much easier?
Yeah. Well, actually, when you build a hosted web app, what I show you today, right? When you take a website and then you basically build an application, a native application around it, that is a universal Windows platform app. It just happened to use HTML and JavaScript as the language instead of C# and XAML. But it is a universal Windows platform app on Windows. And by that I mean it gets access to all of the native APIs of UWP. It participates to the store, it participates to all of the services around the platform. So it's not like one or the other.
Hold on, I think there's a follow-up question.
So in that case, you don't need Xamarin or anything, right?
Well,
so.
But we support choice. And some
no,
developers
I understand, but that's the part that confuses all of us, that there's so many options. Which is the best option if I want to approach the whole market?
I hate coding in JavaScript.
I'm a C#.
So I would go Xamarin or I would go just UWP.
Same. I love JavaScript and HTML, so who is right?
Right.
Like, the good thing is we can all develop a UWP app. It's whatever your preference is. So,
well, you succeeded in confusing us.
There are strengths and weaknesses to every approach.
So we also support C++. We showed just a little bit of that today, but we also... The reason we do all of these is because we know people have a lot of existing code, a lot of existing experience, and a lot of existing skill in each of those different areas. I joke about not liking JavaScript, but I really don't like JavaScript. but it's really just about making sure that wherever you are, we can meet you there.
Awesome. There's a question from online, also following on our conversation about JavaScript. When you link a web app to a native API, what happens when that device doesn't support that API? Can we do feature detection?
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
So it's easy as that. So first of all, you can do device that platform detection, right?
Yeah.
So you notice that when I was calling native APIs on Windows, I was saying if Windows dot, which is like just basic JavaScript namespace for Windows. And then within that, you can just call for API detection, same way you will do, on JavaScript today. So just best practices is the same for JavaScript.
We have a question from online that I feel is going to elicit quite a good response from our panelists. Can we make a VB6 app into a UWP app?
That's awesome. So how many of you have VB6 apps kicking around out there, out of curiosity? Okay.
So at Build, the demo that we showed for the Project Centennial session that we had there was actually taking a VB6 application and pulling it forward. So they're like, what's this really old thing that we know a couple of people still use out there, which more than a handful of folks, that we can show that this is real and that we can pull this forward. So yes, if your VB6 application can be run through the tool because it has a silent installer and stuff, you can go through exactly the same process that we did for any other Win32 application that we have out there. The same thing works with like Delphi, same thing works with C++. It's pretty much anything that can target Win32 on the desktop is a candidate for running through the bridge.
Isn't that just phenomenal, guys?
Yeah.
Let's go. We got a question from online. Can XAML be used to design the UI for Android or iOS through Xamarin? If so, are there any feature limitations?
So the answer is no. Okay. And to be honest, the reason here is because if you have a look at the variations that we have in XAML and AXML and how the main storyboards work in iOS, they're all very different in how they work. So in essence, yes, you can sort of do the whole drag and drop user interface, which actually makes things pretty quick, and that's what you saw me do there. AXML is similar to what you'd find in XAML, so they have some similarities, but we don't have that whole data binding engine with XAML and all the goodness that comes across all of them.
All right. Would it be fair to say that we concentrate more on the tooling?
Yes.
As opposed to, yeah.
We got a question from the audience.
Question about Xamarin. Is it safe to say Xamarin Studio is no longer needed? What's the future of Xamarin Studio? Saying that Visual Studio fully incorporates Xamarin.
So if you're asking about the future of Xamarin Studio, something we didn't mention today. So I talk about Visual Studio becoming, Xamarin support to Visual Studio, to all of the editions, enterprise, professional, community edition, coming for free. As part of the announcement at Build, we also announced that we're going to continue to invest on Xamarin Studio for macOS, and that also will be free for MSDN subscribers. So that's the part that probably you were asking about.
Yeah. Question from online. How does Project Centennial manage application security permissions? And there's a follow-up question. Can you restrict Windows 32 app access, or does it remain completely unmanaged?
Yeah, so this is something that is continuing to evolve as we evolve the project. We virtualize some of the registry access. We virtualize some of the file I/O. We also do have some restrictions on the type of app that can be put through there, like writing to certain registry hives like HK Local Machine and stuff are not supported on there. The best place to go is that aka.ms that I had mentioned earlier to go and see at any given point in time what the full list of restrictions and requirements are really.
All right, we got a question from the audience.
Just quick question concerning Xamarin. I was just looking at some of the Xamarin documentation online, and there's Xamarin Forms, which seemed like it provided a way to have a unified XAML-based UI for the different target platforms. What's the future of that? Because it sounded like in the discussion so far, we've been talking about just platform-specific project targets. So.
Yeah, and if you want more details about Xamarin Forms, I recommend you to watch. There are a couple of interesting sessions that from Evolve, the Xamarin conference that just happened about a month ago in Orlando, where they talk about, for example, how they're thinking about auto layout or custom layout. I think this is definitely one area that we're discussing internally. We're getting feedback. We got great feedback also at Build. We don't have any plan yet to share, but it's one of the areas we're looking at. How can we help productivity of developers when it comes to XAML?
We got a question from the audience.
Hi. So I have a question regarding UWP on Xbox. So is there any clear guidance in terms of how we would port existing ADK Xbox apps onto UWP for Xbox?
And I need to probably provide some context on what ADK means. We did have a previous SDK for building apps, that, like the apps that you find today on Xbox One, before ahead of the release of UWP. Previously, apps were built in HTML and JavaScript, and so you can still run the same app forward. We should follow up just offline, but yes, there is a guideline for bringing the code forward. A lot of the code is the same and shared, and then obviously you can leverage now even more APIs with UWP.
Okay, just find me offline later.
Okay, thank you. Hi. Is there any plan to bring the Windows 10 device core into Microsoft Band?
To Microsoft?
To the Band.
Oh, the Band.
I don't know.
Well.
Oh, well, yeah, you can.
So we can't say for sure like what's going to happen in the future. The Band is a very interesting target because it is a super low power processor in there and stuff, and does it make sense to have the device portal on there? It's still to be determined.
Question from IoT, I guess. Can you guys speak about the Cortana integration in the IoT space? I mean, can you like work just a plain Raspberry Pi just to consume the Cortana surface without any other additional Windows surfaces that you would want to consume? Or do you have to go with the full-fledged OS?
I'll try to take it. So I'm not sure if I understood correctly the question, but I would say IoT doesn't come with a shell, right? When you run Windows for IoT, there is no like UI layer. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the things that you're used to a PC, like when you run inside that environment, are just different. Something that you can do today on Windows for IoT, for example, to connect into services. And we have a lot of example of how you can integrate with Cortana Analytics right there from a Raspberry Pi, for example. You get access to the same APIs that you will get access from a PC. Mm-hmm. The API language is the same. And you can even, for example, connect, like what I did this morning was I had my Pi connected to a webcam. So you can imagine having like some microphone or video capturing that the data, sending it to the cloud, processing on the cloud, where obviously you can have, you have more power, so you can be much more precise in how you do analysis. Another thing we did often in hackathon is face recognition on IoT. And so you can connect a camera, detect the face, at a local level with Windows APIs, and all of this is running offline. And then if you also want to detect the person, from the face, you can use the Cortana analytics service, the cognitive services.
Cognitive services.
And recognize the person and send it back, maybe to unlock a door or for something fun.
Thank you. So also just to be clear, the version of Windows 10 IoT that we're talking about here, that we have here, is IoT Core, which is a version that has no shell and it runs on very low power processors. We do have other SKUs of IoT that if you need more PC-like functionality or more phone-like functionality, we have those available as well, just like we always have.
Do those extra ones are you talking about, are they like tailored for low-end computers like Raspberry Pis and so on, or do you suggest only working those core products which without UI?
So it depends on how you define low-end, because you can get some really low-power phone processors that are that we can run some of these products on. At the same time, you can run some really low-power Atom processors for the Windows 10 desktop side of that as well. So there are lots of options there. Thanks.
We have another question from the audience.
Hi. I was really impressed with the cloud-based testing with real physical devices. But I imagine that would be very expensive for small companies to implement as part of their testing process. So are there cheaper solutions where it might be a virtual machine rather than a physical where you rent and...
So when I was showing you the test cloud, I didn't own those devices. It's like a plan. I don't know the exact pricing of it. I don't know if you guys do, but the idea here is it's almost like I'm renting those devices for the time slice that I need it. So essentially, they're not yours forever. It's for yours for the time slice that you're running it. So you wouldn't. It still works out cheaper than buying all the devices. So if you're a smaller company, that's definitely a cooler way to go. Plus, at least you know that bank of devices is always going to be refreshed.
One more, sorry. Yeah. I've seen you guys take on C#, JavaScript, HTML5, and all C++. One of the to me, as everybody has some flavor of development that they like, one of my favorites was ActionScript. I wonder whether in the future you might bring in that industry into here.
Well, I think that's a question also eventually for Adobe, but if you look at a lot of the community, at least this is what I observed, so maybe it's just subjective, but I saw a lot of developers that invested in ActionScript actually moving to HTML5, mm-hmm. and moving over like JavaScript, And there is a very smooth transition path from one place to the other. Then on the evolution of the language, I think it's outside of our scope, probably.
Thank you.
You got a question from the audience?
Apologies for another question about Xamarin. I understand that for now, if you want to use Visual Studio to develop a native iOS app, you probably have to get access to a physical Mac machine in order to make it happen. Which means, unless the person has a huge hate towards Apple, they should actually pick up just a MacBook and a Xamarin Studio to just go ahead, go for it. So the question is, are there any plans or strategies to have the developer who only has one Windows machine to be able to do exactly the same thing in the future without using a Mac to make an iOS app?
I'll take this.
Okay.
I think we are investing, you know, we talk a lot today about Windows, the investment we're making in Windows to be more productive, right? Of course, that includes the UWP platform. Pete shows how you can even use tools like Bash to run Linux and Unix tools on Windows, which was unprecedented, right? And now you can do it from the flights that you can download now for the Windows Insider channel. When it comes to iOS development, there are a lot of challenges. But we've been working very hard to make it as fluid as possible to build end-to-end experiences on Windows. And so Shen today showed you the simulator where you don't need to have a MacBook or a physical phone right in front of you, right? You could have a MacBook in the cloud. So there are services that rent MacBooks like in the cloud and you just connect for the duration you need. And you could do some processing there and you continue to run locally on your machine. But then, of course, at the end of the day, developers have a choice. And so if you want to use, if you're familiar with another platform, that's also an option. And we support that with Xamarin Studio.
We've got a question from online. Is F-sharp support coming to UWP?
You guys
know? I have no idea.
It's a good question.
It's a very good question.
I guess we'll need to follow up.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right. Question from the audience?
That was
somebody stole his question there. Do you have any plans, future plans for the .NET micro framework? And do you have any plans for that? Is there stuff happening with that still?
Sure. So the product team working on that, I don't know if you've checked out the work that we've been doing with Lilium as well. It's Llilium, which they've been looking at taking the full .NET framework and running that on top of the same class of microcontroller, but it's a native compilation process. So we've been looking at that as one possible avenue. And of course, the team is still continuing to do things with microframework. The tough thing is a board that can run .NET microframework today will still run you about $30, $40. And so that's competing directly against like Raspberry Pi and Arduino, which are at a lower price point, but are arguably faster at certain processes. So we're still really evaluating kind of like where all these pieces fit together. But definitely take a look at the Lilium project. It's open source, it's on GitHub, we accept contributions on it, and it is really where we're investing at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, you speak of boards. I guess the Netduino was one option, but are there any new boards out there that you would recommend?
GHI does a bunch of stuff there too. Honestly, companies aren't building new .NET micro framework boards right now because they recognize that's not where they can make a lot of money for hobbyists and whatnot. They are still building them for industry because it's still quite popular there, but it's not like an Arduino form factor board. It's a custom piece of silicon that they use inside industrial devices.
How about STM or somebody like that?
Yeah, so STMicro, was what was powering like some of the Netduino stuff and other ones, but they're not, to the best of my knowledge, building a specific micro framework board. But again, take a look at what we've been doing with Lilium because I think it will target a number of the things that you're interested in.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Question from the audience?
In the Project Sentinel, what happened if your old application is using COM to communicate with pieces or with external apps? For example, Microsoft Office. How it's going to work?
COM apps? I didn't catch the question.
Oh, if you convert your application with Sentinel to UWP, And if your app is using COM to communicate with external apps, like Microsoft Office, for example, is it going to work?
So there are some limitations on what you can surface from your application to be able to support that. Honestly, I don't recall right off the top of my head whether or not an application like Office can support the automation stuff there. I just don't know. I'd have to look it back up.
Thanks.
All right. The question was about Node, actually. You guys didn't talk much about Node, but I saw slides ask me about Node, so I'll ask anyway. I had problems about 3 months ago with a very deep Node module nested problem. Delete the folder, I can't delete the Explorer line is too long, and then I found the very long discussion on NPM about why does it not work and so on. I just have an answer, a question about, is that any way resolved in light of the Windows GNU coming in and so on? Like, because just to give some highlight, the problem is that there's too many, if you have like a long enough folder structure, NPM doesn't know how to recursively delete folders from inside itself. So the question is in the Windows GNU development, any new?
Yeah. We just see everybody nodding.
Yeah, we know.
We heard about this a few times. It's just like long path issues in general, generic. In the past, you couldn't write into too many folders or too many long. Fixed. So it's going to be, it's already fixed in the Windows Insider build, and it will ship in the anniversary update.
This is a huge issue for Node development.
Yeah.
Okay. It you do need to opt into it right now, right? You have to go in and opt into that.
Okay, so it's an opt-in feature.
Well, right
at
now,
the moment,
in the Insider
yes.
build. Yeah. We're still like testing before we ship it to everyone, but yes, it's fixed.
Is it part of anniversary edition?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
We got a question from online. Would a VB6 desktop app benefit from becoming a UWP app? For example, would the developer have to change the code in VB6, or the conversion would take care of the adaptive UI?
So the conversion converts the install. Right? Okay. So that's the biggest thing, is we take care of the packaging for the application, and then we give the application an identity, which is really a big part of that. We don't change any of the code. We don't change how your UI functions or anything like that. Would a VB6 desktop app benefit from UWP? I think it could, if you want to use any of the new features in there. Even simple things like getting access to the webcam. I know we're always super hard, even in WPF, it was always difficult to get access to things like the webcam, especially VB6. Being able to use those APIs as simple as they are in Windows 10 can be a really big deal for the app, right? So it really depends on what your app is doing, but I would suggest probably yes. The way to start is to start by packaging the application, seeing if the installer helps you out, and then do the slower migration where you can add on a UWP component and selectively call that when you're running on Windows 10.
Awesome. Question from the audience?
My question is, does Windows Mobile 10 provide an API or a framework for developer to build an application for custom keyboard or IDE for Asian language? Because iOS and Android have this kind of AP extension or framework, but I didn't know that Windows Mobile 10 provides this framework.
It's something we're discussing with OEMs and ISVs in China. I'm happy to, or in Asia in general. I'm happy to follow up offline and give you more details about the specific market.
Okay. Question from online. Can we convert an existing WebForms app to the UWP?
Absolutely. Like, you can take any web application. It doesn't matter how you build it. Like, the code can be generated on the server dynamically. It can be client application. You can just start from any web application. So yes.
Okay. Question from the audience.
I have a question regarding a desktop converter that generates APPX. Does it support all COM DLLs?
That was similar to the question earlier about, like, can an application like Microsoft Office support automation and whatnot in once it's been converted through? And honestly, I don't recall right off the top of my head the answer to that question. So the really, again, the best place to look for that is to go to the website, and we have on that aka.ms/converter. We have the list of current requirements. We also have the ability for you to vote up other suggestions, like if you know that your application requires X, and that you're really interested in converting it over, then you can put in a suggestion for that and people can vote it up as well.
Thank you.
When you're running a converted web application in the UWP, it's going to use Edge as a render engine, right?
Oh, I see. Yes.
As a
rendering.
Yes. So any way to change it to something else?
Edge is awesome. Why would you ever do that? I mean,
because
fast, secure. No, actually, but seriously, Edge provides the best browsing experience on Windows, and the Universal Windows Platform apps inherit the same rendering and JavaScript engine of Edge. So that's Trident and Chakra. And so when you're running a web application, you're using the same engines inside your app. One thing we're doing also, we're very deliberate. We don't throttle down the performance or change the capabilities. So you get exactly the same performance you will get in Edge inside a web application.
So if you have any plugins installed, if you have any plugins installed on your in your browser, are they going to be used as well?
No, because plugins are applied to the context of the browser, of Edge.
So no Flash then, right?
Correct, Flash will not work.
Yep, the question is, are there any plans to have Node and NPN embedded into Visual Studio?
Yeah, I could sort of help answer that question. If you're using Visual Studio, the full version of Visual Studio, you can install Node tools for Visual Studio, and you can create your Node projects. And in there, you're able to actually manage your NPM packages in your package.json. You could right-click on it, install packages, update the existing ones that are in there. You can pretty much manage all of your NPM directly inside Visual Studio without having to touch a terminal. There's a question from online. Does Xamarin support instant run on Android to quickly see code updates?
So the way I normally do it is once the emulator is loaded, you're pretty good to go. There is a checkbox that allows you to do that, but sometimes you'll find that your updates don't always get there quick enough. So in general, the way I normally do it is you take the initial hit of the emulator opening. After that, just don't close the emulator, because that will just stay open at that point, and you're not running any more of the Android stuff. It'll just stay there waiting, and then the next time you decide to deploy it, literally will just do a straight install. You don't get the whole edit and continue cool stuff that Pete was showing. But.
Okay. There's a question from the audience.
One quick question. You guys mentioned briefly Power BI visualization. So we worked through Excel pivot tables and charts. Now we're through SQL Server operating services, now Power BI. So what should I be concentrating my efforts on if I want to get to the future of visualization, and where's the direction going?
So you're asking where you should focus your efforts when you're trying to do visualization?
Yeah, because some of the data is sitting into SQL Server and some of the data is sitting on backend legacy. And so there's different tools, and where should I put my efforts to driving this thing forward?
It's really going to hinge on your exact situation. Because if you're coming from SQL, if you're coming from Excel, there's going to be different pros and cons to each approach. And so right now, and it's all supported, we're looking at Power BI as one of the places we're focusing on more automated tools for the less developer savvy. So for the folks who are doing this type of visualization as a full-time job, that's where we're placing a lot of efforts. And we're making it accessible from a lot of other data sources as well. So it's certainly what we're talking about the most these days, if that's what you're interested in. But the fact of the matter is, if you're coming from another data source where other types of offerings are easier, then you really need to take that into consideration when you decide.
We have one question from online. How can I deploy a converted web app into UWP for testing on other machines?
Yeah, there are a couple of ways. First, it's a UWP app, so as any other Universal Windows Platform app, be it in C#, C++, etc., you can just sideload the package. Sideload means you basically create an apex file from Visual Studio or from command line. You copy and paste, you xcopy to other machines. And then you, on Windows 10, we're actually adding a feature where you can just double click, I think Pete showed it today, to install it, or you can use PowerShell command line to install it. The other thing we did was actually as part of Manifold, that open source tool that we showed you. We created a small Manifold application that is already in the store if you search for Manifold.js. It basically allows you to create an a web app on the fly. Mm-hmm. And so you just go into the app, you type the URL, and it will mutate itself to look like the web application that you want to create. And that's very, it's good for very quick prototyping. Obviously, as soon as you want to go native, you need to do a few more steps.
All right, so thank you so much. We're going to follow up soon with the web panel.